sacrifice. Well, it's worse than just killing them. I'm not saying that's a good thing, you know, like the positive category. What I'm saying is that the rest of the translation that's not in here says that what he actually did is not only did he kill them, but he took the blood from all these different people that he slaughtered and mixed all their blood together. Like pouring paint into a bucket and pouring it back and forth. That's what he did with their blood. It was to show an ultimate sense of despair to the Jewish people, saying, you know, I've desecrated your blood. I have done things to the blood. And to the Jewish people, they were obviously afraid because they were afraid of the Roman soldiers. But they were highly discouraged when this happened. So that's really a very bad thing. So if you ever want to look up some of the other translations, it'll tell you Pilate had to mix their blood. Now, when you look at verses 2 and 3, take just a second and look at that and go, what might that reference? What might that reference? For some of us, you look at that and it's saying, well, they must have been more sinful than somebody else, so they deserved to die. But Jesus is going, no, that's not it at all. How about you get the timber out of your eye and look in your own backyard, so to speak. Look at your own life. And unless you change your hearts and lives, you will die just as they did. So the sin nature is the same. There is no one greater sin than the other. Sin is still sin. And he's saying, unless you repent, you'll end up the same place as other sinners go. But let's go into this. We've all heard the phrase, the grass is always greener on the other side of the fence. Anybody not ever heard that? We have all been there at one time or another going, wow, it looks really good over there. There's a reason it's so well known. Our human nature often compels us to look around and compare our own lives to those we see in person, on TV. I can't imagine any of us want to be like those on TV. On Facebook, Twitter, because it's all perfection, right? When we do, we either come out on top and feel superior. I haven't felt that way for a while. Or we find some inadequacy in ourselves that makes us feel our lives are inferior. All right, honesty check here. How many of you at one time or another go, my life really is inferior? Or do you really just say it sucks? Okay, there's an honest man back there. Okay, yeah, more than once I've looked at myself in a mirror and go, oh, Dave, you really suck, man. You know, and I go, yeah, you're right. Okay, so how are we going to improve it? The tendency is prompted someone to equip defensively. The grass may be greener, but boy, have you seen their water bill. Jesus was the master of helping pull people back across the fence to look at their own property. That's what he did in the first several verses that we looked at. When people asked him, who is my neighbor? He challenged them by using the parable of the Good Samaritan. He used it to look at ways they could self-sacrificially give even more to those they didn't consider neighbors at all. It's hard sometimes to just give out to those that you don't know, or not as well dressed, or not as hygienically perfect, you know, all these kinds of things. So when a group of men in the temple tried to force Jesus publicly to judge a woman who had committed adultery, and we're familiar with that story, he encouraged them to look inward first and see what sins they themselves might have committed. And if you remember in the story, they just all sort of got real quiet and they just started turning around and walking away. And then Jesus said to the woman, where are your accusers? And she says, they're not here. And he says, well, I don't accuse you either. Sin no more and go on your way. So he gently said, stop your sinning, but he didn't condemn her for it. How easy is it for us to condemn others? Very simple. When a group of people brought up to Jesus a tragedy that had happened and asked if those who died deserved it because they were more wicked sinners, Jesus saw through the comparison. I cannot imagine how scary it might have been, no matter who you were, that you want to go to Jesus and say something to him, and he sees right through you. He sees your motivation. He sees what it is you're really trying to do. So he gets right to the heart of the issue. Disasters do not come to those who are disobedient. But imagining that those who are facing them somehow deserve misfortune might make us feel better, but it's a falsehood. It might make us feel better about ourselves, but it's a falsehood. Just because something happened. You know, it's like that three-story building that fell in Asia, and I think it was 30 kids died in that. Were they all sinners? Did they deserve to die? You know, it's all these kinds of things that we need to be careful not to throw out the judgment and say, well, they deserve to die because they did this and this. You know, let's get away from that. Let's look in our own backyard. Let's stop looking over the fence. Let's look at our own backyard because we have plenty of raw material in our own lives to work with. True? Amen? Hallelujah? Go, that's right. Okay. Jesus didn't let these fence gazers keep their vision in the distance for long. He pulled them back. He immediately challenged them with these words, unless you repent, you will perish as they did. That kind of language will bring your view back to your own yard fast. Okay, so let's talk about prayer and fasting for a minute. What I challenged you with last Sunday was to do prayer and fasting on Tuesdays or any other day that you might want to do. Now, I started to do it on Wednesdays, and I had to laugh over this. I started to say, well, let's do prayer and fasting on Wednesdays. It's the middle of the week. And the first words out of somebody else's mouth to me, and I laughed because it was funny, it goes, well, what about the coffee people on Wednesday morning? You know, I go, well, I get it. You know, okay, when you're done at 10 o'clock, fast after that. Well, then you've kind of defeated the whole purpose, right? So I said, okay, I'll not touch on the sacred grounds as far as Wednesday fasting. Let's do it on Tuesdays. And I didn't say you had to fast the whole day. What I said is you fast what you can, because some with health issues can't fast just the whole day. It'll mess things up in their bodies too much. So fast a meal. Or as somebody else said, that I know, we were talking about fasting and praying. They said, well, I don't know what to fast. And I said, well, how about you quit smoking your marijuana on Tuesdays? And they go, I could do that. You know, I love being a pastor. I really love it. So I said, okay, give up your marijuana for the day. Why don't you give it up for the week? And their eyes are getting bigger. Now, oh, give it up for the 6 weeks. See how much money you save and how much better you feel. Oh, Pastor Dave, I don't know if I can do that. Okay, well, give it a shot. See what you can do. But the whole thing about prayer and fasting is that you're giving up something. But at the same time, while you're denying the flesh, you're denying your body what it wants the most, which is, I want lots of sugar. I'm real snacky. Or I love, love, love having lots of spaghetti or whatever you're eating. You're giving it up. You're putting your body in its place as far as the flesh. And now you're going, because you're doing that, and oh, by the way, about 3 o'clock or 4 o'clock in the afternoon, you might be starting to get a little hungry because your body's going, hello, I want some food. You go, nope, not time yet. Now, Tuesday, I struggled just like everybody else. I was good till noon. I'm good. I only had 3 cups of coffee. I'm doing right. I didn't have anything to eat. And about 3:30, my body started talking to me. And it's going, Dave, are you going to eat? No, man, you're going to have to wait till about 5. At 4 o'clock, I'm having my first sandwich because I couldn't wait anymore. Because my body said, okay, I'm going to cause you a lot of grief if you don't have some food. So at 4 o'clock, I ate. And I ate a lot. I don't know. I made up for like 3 days. I don't know what happened. But there I was, chowing down. You know, put me at the trough. I'm ready to go. So then I go, okay, all right, Lord, we're going to work on this. When Tuesday rolls around here, let's do a little better. I'll do it in chunks. I'm going to go till noon. I will go till 4. I will try to make it till 5. That sort of thing, because I struggle too. The flesh is weak. But what's it really do? It makes us aware of our position before God. And when you do that sacrifice, even if it's only a small sacrifice, God honors that, and that helps bring you closer into prayer with the Lord. All right. Jesus followed the challenge after he had talked about, unless you repent, you will perish like they did. Jesus followed the challenge with a story about a barren fig tree. Jay, would you bring, okay. He owned the fig tree. In your yards, do you have some trees or do you have some plants that you look at them and they are just totally worthless to you? And you wonder, why do I still have them here? Now, Alvin's going, oh God, I don't know what he's going to talk about, but here we go. Alvin does not necessarily like the trees that we have around the church here. They're junkers, aren't they? And it's okay. Nod your head up and down. It's okay to say it. Okay? They're junkers. But treat that like you would a fig tree or your rose bushes or your peach tree, apple tree, whatever. It may not be doing very well, but give it the love. Give it that fertilizer. Give it the water that it needs. You might be just surprised at how well it does. And that's the same thing for us. Have you felt trimmed or pruned by the Holy Spirit lately? Yeah. Yeah, the Holy Spirit comes along and says, we're going to work on that. I go, can we put it off? And he goes, no, we're not going to put it off, but we are going to work on that. It is coming. Okay, Lord, here I am. Let's go. And like I've told you over the last 20 months or so, don't come to God in prayer and say, God, game on, because you're doomed at that point. He is going to come in spades, and he's going to work with you in whatever that trouble area may be. Feeling that it had served its purpose, the fig tree, the owner wanted to cut it down, but the gardener pleaded for just one more year to water, to fertilize, to nurture it in an effort to bring the fruitfulness of it that it deserved. Each one of us is a fruit-producing person. We all are. Whether you believe that or not, we are. Because of the gardener's commitment to work it out the best in it, to bring out the best for that tree, the tree was allowed one more year to change its ways and to become fruitful, or it would be cut down. Now, I'm not saying Jesus is going to come cut you down at the trunk if you don't produce fruit, but he will come along with his spiritual shears, and he will trim appropriately in order to help you to grow, change, repent, all these things, and bear fruit. So thanks be to God for doing that. Now, let's fast forward to Easter morning. Isn't it amazing that on Easter morning, Mary mistook Jesus for a gardener just outside his own tomb? I've always been a little puzzled by that, because you have eyes to see, ears to hear. Why didn't she recognize Jesus right away? I've always been a little puzzled over that. Jesus not only calls us to stop looking over the fence at others, and instead he wants us to notice the dead spots in our own lives, which I've been talking about for the last few minutes. He promises to care for us until those places come to life again. Now, when we were singing this morning, I felt the Holy Spirit. When we had our quiet moment, and I'm doing the praying, I had the Holy Spirit all over me. I had it. I'm going, yes, the Holy Spirit. And that changed some of my prayer when I was praying for us as a congregation. That changed some of my prayers because I felt the Holy Spirit. And I go, okay, the Lord wants me to pray this way. And that's what I did. Gazing over to the other side of the fence helps us only avoid confronting our issues. I'm a procrastinator. Ask Raquel. She can tell you. I am chairman of the board of the local procrastination society in West Jordan. Wow. Throw me under the bus. All right, so I have a small problem in procrastination. Well, I really have a big problem in procrastination. Ask Ben, because he now has some of my genes that do the same thing. You know, but so that's an area I know that I have to work on. It's easier to do it next week instead of just tomorrow when I really need to be doing it now. And I get that. That's something I've struggled with all my life. So I know I need to work on it. And sometimes that backfires immensely in me because I procrastinated and then disaster hits. Gazing over to the other side of the fence helps us only avoid confronting our issues. But Jesus brings our gaze to the truth, and the truth is the beginning of being set free, right? It's in the New Testament. The truth shall set you free. We are, every one of us, living in the season of second chances. Isn't that wonderful? When Jesus died and rose again, that forgiveness became stronger than ever. Having been saved from the axe by Jesus' desire to restore us to our best. So no matter how gloomy it might get right now for you, he's still working to make you the best. It's like the commercial, be the best that you can be. Yeah. He's working on that for us. We may climb over the fence from time to time, wondering about the lives lived on property surrounding our own. But Jesus brings us back over the fence to the place where we find healing and change right in our own backyard. Go to the bulletin. I want you to see the cartoon that's on the inside there. If you hadn't already read it, let's look at it. So it says the guardrail. I love this thing. Here's the one man jumping over the fence, and he's going, I hate being confined by the fence. I'm jumping over it. Wait, it's not a fence. It's a guardrail. And the guy's going, woo, down the cliff. Have you found yourself there once or twice going, I get really tired of following the commandments. I've managed to break all of them, most of them, and it's just a continual nightmare for me. We've all been there. We've jumped over the fence. We're jumping over to the other yard. In this case, it's a real serious drop to the next yard. So that's why the Lord says, pay attention to how I'm leading you, guiding you, showing you what you need to do. Can all of God's people say amen? Amen, amen, hallelujah. Let's have offering.